in generally speaking, how are levels of trust in the media at the moment? I mean, just how much do Australians, generally speaking, trust in their media outlets?
So I'm involved in a couple of studies in relation to news consumption and trust. So one's called the Digital News Report Australia, and we did that. So last year, the finding on that was that 42% of Australians trust news most of the time. So that's kind of the baseline that we can work from, and that's pretty reasonable. It's close to the global average of around 38 other countries that participate in this annual survey that we do. But in relation to this most recent study, our trust in news is higher, actually, believe it or not, than it might well be in other institutions. So it's higher than people's trust in business or government, but it's lower than trust people have in their friends and educational institutions. So, you know, it's somewhere in the middle.
What kind of factors can influence levels of trust or mistrust in the media?
Look, one of the key things that's been found, not just by us but other studies, is people perceive levels of bias in reporting, and that really has a very corrosive impact on trust. So we found that again in our study, that people, if they think that the story is biased, that it's not balanced, or that there's a conflict of interest. If a reporter, if it's not a balanced story and they're advocating much harder for one perspective than another, that generates mistrust. Sensationalism, if things are, reported, in an over-the-top fashion, making wild claims, that type of clickbait headline. And poor journalism, so history of inaccuracy. So if you've got things wrong in the past, or even just sloppy spelling, things like that. They have a big impact on people's perceptions of trust.
Just in terms of, the approaching it from a certain point of view, obviously there is this historical notion of neutrality in current affairs and news reporting, and that can often be a bit of a false neutrality. News outlets can come to us with saying, we are being totally neutral on this issue, and we can kind of see through it and say, well, I don't know, you're approaching it from this very clear point of view. Meanwhile, I seem to see other trust points kind of increasing with outlets or individual journalists who make their point of view very, very clear from the get-go. So you kind of know from the get-go where they're coming from, and they may not necessarily be neutral. Is neutrality something of a dated idea?
Well, look, you're right to raise the question. Term, we used to call it the objectivity, traditional journalism school and journalism parlance. Yeah, and people don't use that term so much anymore. It's got a very scientific connotation. So I guess, yes, we talk more about neutrality or impartiality, and it does get back to that idea of fairness and balance and coverage. And you're quite right when it comes to issues like climate change. We've had big debates and worthy debates about whether or not we're imposing a notion of false balance, on topics, for instance, where there's scientific kind of a majority that, believes that climate change is real. Why would then journalists inject a false balance by, putting an alternative perspective of a fringe opinion that it's not true? So you're quite right. That is a real debate. But I think what you just mentioned, though, before really does kind of answer the question in some ways. It's about journalists declaring their bias on an issue or their conflict of interest. And that's what we find, as a solution, to trust or to improve trust, that if there was more transparency about journalists' personal interests and biases, that was nominated by people in our study as a way of improving trust in journalism.
Well, looking at other ways we can restore trust, or media outlets can restore trust in their audiences, what kind of measures would you be suggesting they implement?
Well, so I think, the big thing here was around transparency, and that is, again, that's been a conversation certainly within academia around solutions to improving trust in journalism. But that was reinforced very much by our study. So, like I say, a more transparent declaration of any conflicts of interest, whether that be financial or personal or political, So declaration of conflict of interest there. I guess also if you were, let's say you're a member of Greenpeace or, you know, you have very strong animal rights kind of beliefs or whatever, that perhaps, you know, disclosing those as well, so that people can take what you're writing, you know, with a grain of salt, basically, that they understand, okay, yep, this journalist's going hard on this issue, but that's because I know they're a member of PETA or they're a member of Greenpeace or whatever. So that transparency is super important. Interestingly, employing more journalists wasn't seen to be a remedy, but actually more in-depth reporting. So in-depth reporting, greater explanation, greater context, that was nominated by people as a way to improve trust. So it wasn't, you know, it's not more and once over lightly, but less and more depth. And also, people like the fact that journalists respond to comments from the audience in comment sections, etc., to stories. So that willingness to engage with the audience was seen to be a way of promoting trust. And also just the reputation of a news brand is very important as well. So people, you know, tend to trust some news brands more than others. But general activity on social media. So whilst whilst the public was saying to us that they like it when journalists engage with them in comment sections, etc., about stories, they don't necessarily want to see journalists just out there on social media expressing their opinion. So it's the interaction they want with them is in relation to the story, so that they're having some kind of good sort of intellectual kind of debate with the public, but they don't necessarily want them out there in that kind of generally untrusted, you know, realm of social media, just kind of sprouting their opinion.
And just finally, and it may be something of a controversial point, but in terms of consumers of news media, so the audience themselves, do they bear some responsibility? Is it just a one-way relationship in terms of the media outlet forcing audiences or getting audiences to trust them? Does the news consumers need to take some responsibility in building trust as well by holding media organisations to account?
Look, I think that's a good question. I mean, yes, and I guess, you know, that's increasingly, the audience is increasingly able to do that through the interactive, you know, online media. So whether it's through social media or online comments or whatever, that they can hold them to account. And there is actually, I mean, there are programs like Media Watch on the ABC, you know, that do, you know, do put the media under scrutiny, and there is that in the blogosphere. There is, you know, that they talk about it sometimes as the fifth estate, that there is this sort of online community that is holding the media to account, that is raising these questions, which is pushing journalists to be more accountable. And of course, the great thing about online media is that you can now, you know, link to your sources of information. You can link directly to the report. You can link directly to the speech that someone gave, so that the audience can go and test for themselves and go, well, is this actually a fair story? Did this journalist represent what this politician said fairly? Because I can go and see the press conference for myself now. So there is a level of transparency that just online media affords. And that does help the audience, you know, hold the news media to account. And they should make the most of it.
Well, Caroline, it's one I could go on and on about, to be honest. I would greatly enjoy a longer chat on this one. But look, we will have to let you go. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.